Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is 956B. The B's are always the guest segment, and we have a great guest for you today about a subject that I'm really interested in, as I'm over the age of 50, and everyone over the age of 50 is probably vulnerable to this. But Dr. Chodash, who's from Mass Eye and Ear, he's a professor, in fact, not only a tenured professor, but he's the David G. Kogan Professor of Ophthalmology in the field of cornea and external disease at the Harvard Medical School, Vice Chair for Education in the Department of Ophthalmology at one of the world's great eye institutes, Mass Eye and Ear. And he's going to talk to us about shingles and how it can affect the eye, and what to do to prevent it, and what to do if you think you might have it, and all those related symptoms. So, Dr. Chodash, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Now, tell me, one, how did you get interested in the eye? What motivated your interest in the eye in the first place?
While in medical school, very early on, I had the opportunity to look in the eye. It's the most amazing and beautiful part of the body, and I was hooked.
And so you were hooked in medical school, and then you did, and I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit, because you did a masterful, if you will, tour of the best institutions for the eye in the world. So let's start with, after medical school, where'd you start your training relating to the eye?
I performed residency training in ophthalmology at the Baylor College of Medicine, the Cullen Eye Institute, where the chair, now retired, was Dr. Dan Jones, who is really the leading figure in the field that I now work in, cornea and external disease. And then I spent a year at the Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute, where I did a fellowship in cornea and external disease.
We ought to say where that is. Bascom-Palmer's is in Miami, I remember.
That's in Miami, Florida. Bascom-Palmer Eye Institute's in Miami, Florida. It's a world-renowned eye institute. Had a fantastic experience there, trained under some true icons in the field. Then I did a research fellowship in virology. I actually studied a closely related virus to varicella zoster virus, which causes shingles. The virus I studied during my research fellowship was Epstein-Barr virus. And I was in Memphis at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital for 2 years. And then I went to work at the Dean McGee Eye Institute in Oklahoma City, another very well-known place where I became a full professor and head of cornea. Then in 2008, I took a job at the Mass Eye and Ear, and that's where I've been since.
And in taking a job, he didn't just take a job. He took a job that was about as high in the world of cornea as you can get. So tell us now, how did you did a fellowship in viruses and virology. And why did you do that? What motivated you? If you're interested in the cornea, which is the outer part of the eye, or describe it better to us than I would say outer part of the eye as a internist and amateur. But tell us how you got to that part of the eye and why you decided to focus on viruses.
So a virus, another interest during medical school, I was always fascinated by viruses. There are these amazing entities. They're not alive. They require a living cell in which to replicate, in which to multiply. Without a living cell to grow in, they're inert. They have no life of their own. They are tiny, so they're on the nanoscale, and they require host proteins and enzymes and structures for their survival and growth. And viral infections of the cornea are very common, perhaps the most common problem in the cornea. And those two things connected for me. I loved corneal surgery. It's very intricate. under the microscope. Corneal transplantation is a fantastic thing. And so it was the merger of my interest in infections and viral infections in particular, and fascination with the eye and particularly the cornea that led me to an interest in viral eye infections. And I've been working in viral eye diseases and with funding from the National Institutes of Health for about 20 years. So I've been doing this for a while, and varicella zoster virus, which causes shingles, otherwise known as zoster, is a devastating infection that when it occurs around the eye can lead to sometimes complete blindness in that eye. And so being seen as somewhat of an expert in viral eye disease, these patients come to see me, and by necessity, I've had to develop some expertise in this particular type of infection. And I think that's what brought me to your attention.
So now shingles is, I think of shingles as a really painful infection that most people who get it don't have to get it. Meaning that we know how to prevent a lot of it, and I'm going to talk to you about that. But in addition, it can really be devastating over the long term, meaning I think of it as causing chronic pain in the leg of someone who has not gotten the prevention strategy. So first of all, is it painful in the eye?
Sure, yes. So shingles is a reactivation of the virus. So chickenpox is the initial infection. And most middle-aged to older adults have had chickenpox. The younger adults today, many of them were immunized with a chickenpox vaccine at a very young age and have not had it. But for those of us who've had chickenpox, the virus infects us systemically, our lungs, our skin, and then becomes latent. So it goes to sleep, you might say, in the nerve root ganglion, the sensory nerve root. And when it reactivates later in life, when our immune system wanes or we go through a particularly stressful experience, whether it be physical or emotional, when it reactivates along a single dermatome, which is a area of skin that's supplied by a single sensory nerve. That can occur really anywhere on the skin, but a very common place for it to occur is on the forehead. And when it occurs on the forehead, that's the first division of the
Let me just interrupt
nerve.
You. So it follows a nerve root. It somehow lives in the where the nerve is housed. We call it the dorsal root ganglion of the nerve.
Correct.
And then it follows that nerve when it reactivates. Why does it follow that nerve?
That's correct.
What's the why?
Well, it literally travels down the nerve fiber. So it's physically restricted to the area of skin supplied by that nerve. So when it reactivates in the first division of the fifth cranial nerve, which supplies sensation to the face, that first division supplies to the forehead and eye, very specifically and with few exceptions. And so that's patients develop severe headache and pain, tingling, burning, electrical sensations in their forehead and scalp. And sometimes in their eye in the acute phase, and then they develop blistering lesions on their typically forehead and scalp. And it's incredibly painful. It's described as one of the most painful experiences. Patients sometimes have a form of post-traumatic stress disorder after shingles. They become extremely fearful if they have a headache or any symptoms that the shingles might be coming back, even though it doesn't do that very often. And so it reactivates and travels down the nerve and forms a new infection in the skin. And when it does that, it also damages the nerves so that a subset of patients develop something called postherpetic neuralgia, or PHN. They can also develop postherpetic itch, or PHI. And both those conditions can resolve, or they can become chronic. And when they're chronic, they can really alter the life experience of the person and create quite a bit of suffering and misery for the person who suffers. Those conditions are much more common if you develop shingles at a later age. Younger patients, although they may have severe pain at onset, usually have less of the long-term neuralgia. And those are treated with chronic pain medications like gabapentin or Lyrica, which probably most of your listeners have seen advertised on TV for diabetic neuropathy or nerve pain associated with diabetes. In addition, the virus can cause eye inflammation when it reactivates, and that inflammation can wax or wane or recur for decades, literally for a lifetime after shingles. So once you've had shingles, you're always at some risk for having ocular inflammation. And it's particularly either the cornea or the retina that are most often affected. When the virus reactivates in the retina, there's a devastating infection called acute retinal necrosis, which is often blinding, requires admission to the hospital and intravenous antiviral medications. But in the cornea, the virus can be, the reactivation and inflammation can be insidious. It can be silent to the patient. They can be developing scarring that they don't know about until it crosses the visual axis when they lose vision. Or it can cause severe inflammation with light sensitivity, redness, pain, and blurred vision. And there are patients who go on to develop very severe corneal inflammation such that the cornea can even perforate, leaving literally a small hole in the eye due to the virus. So it's a very severe problem. It also damages the nerves such that sensation can be lost to the cornea, and it becomes susceptible to minor trauma. In the same way, a diabetic who loses sensation to their feet can develop ulcerations of their feet. The cornea can spontaneously ulcerate and, again, can be lost, and the eye can be lost. That's called neurotrophic keratopathy. It's a devastating and difficult complication. There are finally some treatments emerging for that. But I think important to the listeners is to understand that shingles can be prevented.
Yes, let's go to prevention.
And let's talk about vaccines. So a couple of things. The age of onset of shingles is gradually reducing. So it used to be that if a person under the age of 60 had shingles, you worried that they had some immune condition that would leave them more susceptible. Now it's much more common, and at Mass Eye and Ear, our average age of onset is now under the age of 60. It's not clear why that is, but the some years back, a vaccine came out, which was literally a virus that they genetically altered so that it wouldn't replicate well. That's called a live attenuated virus. And that vaccine, which is, I think, not being given very much because there's a new one, that vaccine was called Zostavax. And that it wasn't very heavily adopted by practitioners. Primary care providers didn't recommend it very often. It was clearly, the clinical trials showed that it was better to be vaccinated with that vaccine than not.
I should interrupt you, Dr. Shotis, and just to tell you that I was vaccinated, and we routinely at the Cleveland Clinic vaccinate everyone over the or urge everyone over the age of 50 to get it. So that was the old shingles vaccine, which everyone hopefully in our primary care practices and our executive health practices got. And you're about
the
to tell us about a new
that
vaccine.
Only about 14%. Only about 14% of eligible adults got that vaccine. So Cleveland Clinic may have been doing it right, but a lot of others weren't following those recommendations.
And part of the reason
go ahead.
I should say part of the reason for our doing it and for your doing it is that this can become, as you said, chronic, and it's incredibly devastating. It's so painful. Forgetting that you might lose your eyesight, which I didn't even know about till I started reading your work, but forgetting that, it's really a bad actor.
It's incredibly painful. I as I said, people will say this is the worst thing, the worst physical experience, the worst physical pain they've experienced, and they all regret getting it. More recently, a newer vaccine came out. Now, the previous vaccine I mentioned was actually a virus. The new vaccine is a single glycoprotein or a molecule on the surface of the virus. And it doesn't have the rest of the virus. And so it presents a protein to the immune system that it responds against. And the new vaccine is much more effective. Over 90% of patients are protected. The downside is you need two vaccinations less than 6 months apart. And there's been a general shortage of the vaccine, so it's been hard for some of us to get hold of it. But it's extremely effective, and it's, again, recommended that patients over the age of 50 get the vaccine. If the person has a history of cancer or is on immune suppression or has an immune condition, they should always consult their physician before getting any vaccine. But for those who are otherwise healthy, there are very few contraindications to having the vaccine. It's very effective, and that's called Shingrix, S-H-I-N-G-R-I-X. And it looks to be a real winner in terms of protection.
Right. And as you said, the other downside there is that we have to put people on a waiting list for it because it is in such short supply. But let me urge all the listeners, if you're even over the age of 45, talk to your practitioner about getting it. Because the shingles is one affecting people at a younger age, as you said, Dr. Chodesh. And secondly,
yes,
is shingles has some really bad consequences if you don't get it. And so this is another one of the vaccines that can prevent a serious disability in your life. So tell us a little more about why does the vaccine work so well? In other words, it isn't wiping out the virus in the dorsal root ganglion, is it? Or does it help you do that? Why does it work so well?
Well, we have no means by which to eliminate persistent viruses. The varicella zoster virus is one of the herpes family of viruses, and they all have the tendency to become latent infections, whether in nerve roots or in white blood cells. And no one has found a way to eliminate them. They're not susceptible to the usual antiviral medicines because they're not growing, and those medicines all require growth in cells in order for the antivirals to work. This particular vaccine, the scientists who developed it identified that a protective immune response against this one protein was sufficient to block the full reactivation of the virus. Probably herpes viruses are reactivating, not necessarily every minute, but frequently and periodically in all of us. But our immune system, because of memory against the initial infection, is sufficient to quiet and quell the infection or the reactivation, so that the individual doesn't have any symptoms. So the virus may start to reactivate, and then the immune system is there, and it subsides. At some point, as the immune system wanes, and you and I both know that our immune systems wane as we get older, they become less effective, that reactivation is overcome. But what the vaccine does is it stimulates more memory cells, immune cells, so that when the virus does reactivate, there's a much stronger immunity. The vaccine includes an adjuvant, which boosts immunity, and they just came up with a successful recipe for a vaccine. It's one of the more successful vaccines in the vaccine repertoire.
Now, one of the things that people may ask is, can, if I didn't get it, and I get the outbreak of shingles, I see the crusty red lesions starting. Could I take the vaccine at that point and will it work?
Yeah, I don't think that would be really an effective therapy. I think something that's very important for the listeners to know, that if they develop severe pain on one side of their forehead, or really anywhere, it's typically just one side of the body, they should call their primary care physician, and if unavailable, go to the emergency room and be seen. Sometimes the pain precedes the skin lesion, so it requires some level of suspicion. But starting on an oral antiviral, what's recommended is a drug called valacyclovir at 1,000 milligrams 3 times a day for a normal-sized adult. If given right away, can reduce the length of time of the outbreak, and it also reduces the risk of having post-herpetic neuralgia, this painful postdrome that I mentioned earlier. So that's a very, very important thing, and that therapy is most effective when given within 72 hours of onset of symptoms. So it shouldn't be ignored. Having the vaccine at that point would probably not be effective. The other question patients ask is, if I have shingles, should I go and get the vaccine so I don't get it again? Well, in the short term, probably not necessary, because having shingles means that the virus is reactivated and your immune system has been re-stimulated, so that you've had sort of a mini vaccine when you get shingles and you don't need to rush out and get the vaccine. But once everything is quieted down, it's very reasonable to go get vaccinated, because patients can get shingles a second time. And I think it gives some level of assurance and comfort to a person who's gone through such a severely painful problem to know that they then are relatively protected against having shingles a second time.
So the bottom line is, this is a devastating potential disease that you have a chance of protecting, 90% chance of protecting against, based on just getting 2 vaccine shots, and that almost everyone can get the vaccine shot because it's not a live attenuated virus anymore. Particle that you're developing the antibodies against, and consequently, almost everyone can get this vaccine. There are very few contraindications to it. Everyone over the age of 50 should get it, at least in my opinion.
What the CDC recommends. Yep.
Are there any eye contraindications? In other words, one of the things we always were taught as kids, when you get any of the viruses, don't touch your eyes. I assume that's still a good thing to avoid.
That's true. If you have an open sore and you can transmit the virus directly from that open skin lesion to the eye and cause a secondary infection, it can happen on its own, but it can also happen from direct transmission. There is a controversy regarding the older vaccine as to whether it could exacerbate eye problems. And there are several anecdotes, case reports, very difficult to distinguish from coincidence, because we know that patients who have had shingles and who have had ocular inflammation can develop worsening without any obvious reason. And if you have happened to have the Zostavax, the older vaccine, and then developed a worsening of your pre-existing eye disease, there are those that would then caution you against having that vaccine if you had active ocular inflammation from shingles. The new vaccine has not been similarly associated. I can tell you that the large clinical trials of either the older vaccine or the newer vaccine failed to identify any serious eye problems developing from taking the vaccine. So I think with the new vaccine so far, there's no eye reason, there's no ocular reason not to have the vaccine. And if you've had shingles previously, usually we don't like to stir up the immune system when you have active inflammation. But once the active inflammation is stable, there's no evidence that taking Shingrix is harmful.
We've been talking with Dr. James Chodosh, C-H-O-D-O-S-H, who is an ophthalmologist and vice chairman of the department at Mass Eye and Ear, obviously an expert in external or corneal eye disease. And you can find him, by the way, by just going Mass Eye and Ear, Google it, and then when you get that, you can find Dr. Chodosh if you want to have more information or a consult with him. For the rest of us, I think getting 2 Shingrix shots And getting on the waiting list, if you have to get a waiting list as I did to get them, is what you should do. Thanks very much, Dr. Chodesh, for coming on. Thank you for downloading us. And do tell your friends about us and rate us. This is 956B of the podcast. And Randall, thank you for great engineering again. But especially you, the listener, thanks again. We have a great guest, by the way, coming up both next week as well as the A set. I'll just tell you that next week's guest is Dr. Min, who has a great information on how we repair our DNA and what it means for you to repair your DNA and how you can help stimulate that if you've had sunburn damage. Of course, the A segments are always the latest news of the week and what it means to you. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.